The lesson that I've chosen today is struggles in the middle of life. Anybody amen with that? All you young punks out there and punkettes, your time's coming. In John 20, 19 through 20, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw it was the Lord. Do you know that if we have only a small faith, we can be fully aware that Jesus will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. Now, there are people who will let you down. They will leave you stranded. They'll tell you they're going to do this or that, and you never see them again or hear from them, or it might be 15 years before you hear from them again. Those of us who have been saved by His wonderful grace, you and I are saved by God's grace and are fully indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You got double things going here. You've got the Lord God Almighty who says, "I'm on your side." You got those who have faith egging you on and showing the way. There's not a moment that He is not a constant companion. There's just not a time when God says, "I'll be back in a little while." We do that all the time, don't we? I'll be right back, or I'll be back in a little bit. God is right there. The good things that go with all of this is the Holy Spirit of God. Is God God and the Holy Spirit somebody else, or is everybody the same? The Bible promises that the Lord will be near to those who struggle in life, or who are dealing with pain, or associated with circumstances of life. If you wake up in the morning, somewhere in the world, you're probably going to be among people who are in trouble. We have worked together in this church to help people who couldn't get help for themselves. We've had people come in here just wanting something. And, you know, it's hard to define just wanting something and needing something. And we've had to deal with that over time. In Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord deliver him from all of them. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Does that sound like God's on your side? The Lord is always close to those who've been brokenhearted, and He saves the contrite spirit. The Scriptures are filled with words from God that demonstrates that the Lord is among His people and providing for their needs, and we are never alone in this journey, and we need not fear facing life apart from His divine guidance and provision, because He's always there and He'll always continue to be there. I won't always be there for you. Believe it or not, Alan won't be always there. And everybody else in this room won't always be there. But who's the one that will? God Almighty. The opening verses of the passage take place on the evening of Jesus' glorious resurrection, and concluded the verses would take up to 8 days later. In both instances, the disciples were dealing with almost horrid situations. The Lord had died. I thought Jesus was God. He was God. He is God. If you want to know, Jesus was killed. He was buried. Walking around and talking with Paul or Andrew or some of these guys that were so named all through the text. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the gospel I preach, which I received and which you have taken your stand by this gospel, you have been saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, appeared to Cephas and to the 12, and then He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, though some had fallen asleep. That means they had died. Then He appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Do you realize that for a while, when Jesus was walking the earth, He didn't have all this help. He was bashed all over the place, called names and all kind of things. He says, I'm the least of the apostles and don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace has made me not without effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach and this is what we believe. Now, we're going to watch real carefully right here about the resurrection from the dead. If it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we're found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised from the dead, and the fact that the dead is not raised. For the dead is not raised, then the Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep, which is dead, in Christ are lost. If only this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. You know that the resurrection is the big world. That's the big boy. I love Jesus Christ, and you do too. If Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, for since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through man. For as in Adam all die, and so in Christ we'll all be made alive. I don't want to keep going to that old church house up there. I don't want to keep going up there listening to that guy blab all the time. It's not about us. All I'm doing is talking about it. I can't change it one way or the other. And I'll tell you this, you can't either. Can God do it? Sure He can. Then the end will come and He'll hand over the kingdom of God to the Father after He's destroyed all dominion and authority and power, for He must reign until He has put His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. How many people in this room have had to deal with death at some point, some way? Now, when he says that everything has been put under him, it's clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he was done, this is the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, and God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought with wild beasts in Ephesus, and no more than humans hopes what I have gained. If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. Come back to your sense. And you ought to stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God and say to this to our shame. But some will ask, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, do you plant the body that will be but just a seed? Perhaps a wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined, and each of us a seed. He gives us its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds have another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind of the splendor, and the earthly body is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, and the moon has another, and the stars another, and stars differ from each one in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection. The body that is sown perishable is raised imperishable. If God is saying that when you die, you will be raised back up. You're not going to be turned into a monkey. But here's what I know. I am in the safety of the Almighty God. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, your flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor will the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. Sleep is a euphemism for death. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet sound. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Now, that's not to say that you're going to turn into a monkey or something. You're going to be you. You're going to be you, and you're not going to be anybody else's you. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with mortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with this imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is the written come to true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? And where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who's been given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So if you're struggling with things like this, if you really don't, you know, you say, I don't know if this is a bunch of baloney or what, you know. Some people look at it that way. If you're struggling with things like this, you're in good company. You know why? His disciples, many, many eons of time in the past, were struggling with the same stuff. In John 20, 19-23, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. And I thought Jesus was dead. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed him his hands and he sighed, and the disciples were overjoyed that they had seen the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." How do you think you would react if you saw someone die, laid them in the ground and covered the grave with dirt, and then have that same person show up 3 days later? If that were to happen, anybody was doubting whether the Scripture is true, somebody going to say, "You know what? I think I want to get in on this." This is good stuff. The disciples were dealing with doubt. They had trouble believing Jesus was alive. In the center of their fear and doubt, Jesus came into them. It wasn't a dream, because they recognized that it was the Lord standing right there before them, and the hope was revived. What we have to come to believe is that we're never far from Jesus Christ. I want to listen to this, Acts 17, 27 and 28. "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, that he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." There's people out there that hasn't embraced Jesus that believes it. He is nearer than we think. He'll come near to us and provide for us in our time of doubt and fear. In Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and faithful in all he does." What does "faithful in all he does" mean? If he says it's going to do it, what? Going to happen. The Lord is nearer to all of us who call on Him and who call on Him in truth. He fills His desires with those who fear Him, and He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. He is nearer than we think, and He'll come near to us and provide for us in other times, in doubt or fears. John 20:20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. We've never had that experience that we know. But I know this, if God said all of these other things and they came to pass, I'm not one to say, "Well, that's just a bunch of baloney." It's the way God works. Can you embrace the fact that you stand in peace, the peace of God, whether you feel it or whether you don't. There have been times when we've faced an uncertain future, and we've had plenty of that in the last years. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a lot more of it. In John 20, 21, Jesus challenged them. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." If any of these guys had not got the message, any doubt that remained was removed as Jesus stepped forth and showed them his hands and his side. It was really Jesus. He was really alive again, just like he said he would be. Whatever doubt they had was replaced with confidence and complete assurance. After seeing this, they were settling in their heart in a fresh encounter with the Lord. Though I've never seen Jesus with my physical eyes, I see him. I have a friend in Jesus. I have a mighty friend in Jesus. You can say yes or no. It's not my place nor anybody else's place to beat something into somebody. God's on our side. And there is not a day or an hour that you can do anything that's bigger and better than what God Almighty has done for us. The church said, amen. Amen.